And ministry together was is phenomenal. Just learning the ways of the Holy Spirit, right? Just learning His ways. It's our training ground. We learn so much in basically just how to trust. Just how to depend on Him. And not our religious understanding, not the cards we had made up of how to get somebody delivered. You know, don't depend on any of that stuff. It's just God. Just God. So we're, wow, we got a history here. You know, we'd like to have, we've talked about this, but we'd like to have a time, sometime, where those that are here that have been here a long time, to just share with the rest of you the some of the phenomenal things that God has done in this ministry. But it just, every one of them will blow your mind. And we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. Just a night of encouragement or a day of encouragement. Just simply to, because you know the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy, right? You hear what Jesus did and you say, I received that. Oh yeah, I received that. Oh, that's ringing true in me. Oh yeah, okay, that's for me. And He releases it for you. But when God says yes, you don't say no. Because He doesn't take away His yes. That yes remains there all the days you're sucking air. And so just dive in. Right? Just dive in. We haven't started yet. That's okay. It's all right. It's okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be together. Thank you for the beauty of Your presence. Thank you for the sweet aroma of Jesus in this place and on each and every one that's here today. Sweet aroma of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We trust You, Holy Spirit. You know deeper inside of us than we can even begin to go. And You know it. You know the depths of us. And You know the plans that You have for us. And they're so good. They're so good. We trust You to speak to each and every one of us. Lord, no matter what comes out of my mouth, that it would be You and that You would go directly to each and every heart. Any way You want to do it, it's okay with me. We bless You. We honor You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This last week was a turning point for this crazy cough and cold. It took the last punch. Finally able to sleep at night. And it was just, you know, it takes it out of you when you're hacking all night long and you can't sleep and then you try to go through the day. It's like, oh. And it's just, it's amazing when we realize. But, you know, what's even more amazing is when it even hits and we know You're already taking me through, Lord. I just don't know the time, but I'm guaranteed to go through. And I love that about the Lord. That no matter what it is that comes, we can know that we know He's already brought us through. And we're just going to step into it. Hallelujah. It just takes away the frustration during the time. It takes away the anxiety. It takes away all of the what is going on here stuff, you know. With God, You got it. You just got it. You got it. What I want to... You realize that sometimes what I want to share with you may not be exactly what He wants to share with you, but I believe that anytime I yield myself to Him, we're going to end up with what He wants. Because I'm going to yield. And I don't have a problem with stopping going in a direction I think we're supposed to be going or stopping saying what I'm saying or moving somewhere. I have no problem with that because He's the one that knows what He wants. And He's training us. More and more to not have it all, everything all in advance, but that as we go. Jesus said, as you go. It's as we go. As we go through life, He's going to give us what we need. I remember my early Christian years, I was a zealot. I was like lit up, and I would just, you know, I'd be witnessing to and ministering to everything that opened their mouth. And even those that didn't open their mouth. If there's a fly on the table, I'm going to pray for the fly. I mean, I'm just praying for everything, and I didn't know that I didn't have to work it up. Like I would, I would plan it, go to sleep at night thinking about what I was going to say to this person the next day and trying to get that all worked out in my head, and you know, because I just want to say the right thing. I didn't understand. And then I read that Jesus said, hey, don't worry about it, okay? The Holy Spirit will give you the words at the right moment. You don't have to think ahead. You don't have, in fact, it hurts. It does damage to think ahead and to plan ahead. It does damage to that. And I want to, I believe he wants to move us in a direction. Some of our singing was this way. They're talking about the unity of the body of Christ, talking about being united with God, talking about oneness with him. What does it mean? How do we get there? What does unity? Jesus, we're going to look at Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. What is he talking about that we would be one as he and the Father are one? How does that work out in our lives? And what does it look like? I want to be able to, through the Holy Spirit, be able to answer some of those questions for us. I know that it's big. It's really big. And I came Monday night, and I won't be here tomorrow night, okay? So you guys can meet if you want. And you can dance, sing, talk, pray, discuss the word, whatever you want, okay? But I won't be here tomorrow night. I'll be here in spirit. You know, I'm telling you that I'll be here in spirit. You know, that to me is reality now. It's not just a phrase, but it's real. We can actually be somewhere that we're not physically in the spirit. You can. If you haven't tasted that yet, you will. You will. Hallelujah. And I was just sharing some of the things Monday night about, you know, what I believe God is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying. Now, because I'm a student of, I'm not going to, none of this needs to be recorded. Because go ahead, leave it. Because I'm a student of revival, right? I mean, I've always studied past revivals because I was interested in, you know, what God did and how he moved whole communities and how he moved whole groups of people, and they were radically changed and they had transformation that was phenomenal. And I studied all those things, and he made it clear to me that the way that he did it then, it's the same spirit that's gonna move in this move. But he's not going to do it the same way. And he said the most important thing is that we are hearing from heaven. That we're hearing from the throne room. That we are receiving understanding and revelation from the throne room, from God himself. Not what other people are saying, not what the prophets are saying, but what God is saying. And it gets bigger than that, okay? It's not just that each of us does that, but the way it works in the Spirit is, how many of you have the Holy Spirit living in you? Okay, have you got a different Holy Spirit than what I have? So what happens when he's speaking to me from the throne room? What should happen to you? What should happen when he's speaking to you from the throne room? What should happen to me? If we are one, we should all be getting it. And I believe that's the next move that we're going to see, is it's going to be, we're going to know a oneness that's unlike anything that's ever come to the church in all of history. A unity unlike anything that's ever come to the church in all of history. And the way we get there, oh, wait till you see this. I mean, for years, I've watched the church, not just this church, but the church all over the world. They decide that they need to have unity, they need to have fellowship, they need to be one. So they start planning things. Okay, I like potlucks. I like dinners together, but they say, let's plan a potluck. Like, that's going to bring, that doing that is going to bring the unity that God wants. Okay, I mean, I like it, but that's not God's plan, okay? It's not his plan to bring unity. It's not the things that we do, and I'm going to show you. Oh, boy. Hallelujah. John chapter 17, I'm in the New King James. I'm going to read verse 20 to 26, Jesus praying. Now, how many of you would agree, if Jesus is praying, it's probably a pretty good chance that the Father's going to answer that prayer. Hey, right? In fact, what do you think maybe he answered it as soon as Jesus prayed it? I think probably that's already set into motion in all the ages to come, and in all the operations of the Holy Spirit in years after Jesus was there. Don't you think that it got released? And now it's just grabbing hold. He said, verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. As the Father sent Jesus, he sends us. The way it was for Jesus, it is for us. People out there need to see Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, through us. And just the way Jesus revealed him, now God wants to reveal him to the world around us through us. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. How much glory did God the Father give Jesus? He gave us the same glory. Yolanda, I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect and one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me, we were given as a gift from the Father to Jesus. Whoa. Now you tell me how we could lose that salvation. Like the Father made a mistake. He doesn't make mistakes. Every one of us are a gift from the Father to Jesus. Whoa. Whoa. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Can you already see the answers, how this prayer has been answered? Already? To a pretty big measure. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Wow. Wow. As a young Christian, I heard this thing going around that there's these two things, these two big uniting things that are coming in the world, and one is the unity around of the religious church around the Antichrist. It's going to grow and grow and grow. The religious church is going to grow around the works of the Antichrist in the last days. But there's also the true unity of the Spirit, which is going to offset and counter and reveal the faults because of the unity that is going to be released to that measure in the body of Jesus Christ. Wow. We had, since I've been praying, and we prayed this way Monday night too, that the Holy Spirit would begin to give us revelation of what the church is going to look like. Unlike the way it's been in the past, it's going to be different. Same spirit, praise God, but different. Way more powerful. Because as evil increases, so much more does the grace of God abound and grow and be released. So much more do we see evil increasing. Heck yeah. So what else are we going to see increasing? The glory of God. Through what? Through the body, through the church. Through the church. So, only we don't have vain imaginations now. We got the real imaginations. Hallelujah. Because of their unity. And that's not even unity with God. What happens when we have unity with Him? How much greater will it be? Yo, Landa. I'm hanging out and believing for it to be in my lifetime. I want to see it. I want to see it. Did I ever tell you about that? I had a dream once, and I went to heaven in a dream. The Apostle Paul came up to me and he said, "Tell me what it was like during the time that we were here." And I'm like, "Say what? You're asking me?" That's telling me that there's something really, really, really great that God has stored in store for us. Look at this in Galatians chapter 3. We're still in the New King James. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." We are what? All. Holy Spirit, may you build in us today the understanding of oneness in you, and that everything you did, Jesus, is for all of us, and we are all together in it. It's very difficult to be at odds with your brother when you know you've been made one with him. Very difficult. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." I don't believe he's talking about the baptism where we dunk people in the water. I think he's talking about where the Holy Spirit immersed us, our new spirit man, into Christ. All of us. He immersed us into Christ. Our spirit has been immersed into Christ by the Spirit. It's not our work. It was his work. He did it. He did it. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." Where does the divisions come? Where does the distinction come? That comes through religion, through schisms, and everybody's got their own little thing they want to do, this own individual thing that they want to do, and they forget that this is all about Jesus Christ. And I know that there's lots of streams, but it better be coming out of the river. Because there's streams out there the stream is all there is. It's not coming from the river, but there's a stream, all these different things, right? It's Jesus plus no thing equals everything. It's Jesus plus no religious thing, nobody's idea about what they think Christianity should be. It's just Jesus plus no thing equals everything. Oh. "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." That's us. That's us. It's not just us, but it's all those all over the world who are born again. And they may be in groups, they may be in assemblies that got weird ideas, but still, they're in the body. And I think that, God is putting a dissatisfaction in the hearts of people who are beginning to understand that there's something far greater than what each little group has been experiencing, right? Are you agreeing with me? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 3. Okay, I could start in 1, but I'll start in 1. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." I like that. Would you ever call yourself the prisoner of the Lord? Oh, yeah, that sounds exciting to me. I've been taken captive by him. Woo-hoo! Yeah, he's got me hemmed in. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. "The prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness," that means humility, "and gentleness, with long-suffering," that's patience, "bearing with one another in love." Now, verse 3 is where I want to go. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, the way most people interpret endeavoring is to put forth some kind of effort, to try to make something happen, to bring people together. Okay, let's plan something. Let's plan a gathering. Let's plan something to bring people together, right? That's the way, pretty much the way we do it, right? Let's plan something. Okay, there's something we've got to do to maintain the unity, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Notice he did not say to bring the unity, to create the unity. What did he say? To keep or maintain that which has already been granted, already been given. We have been given in the Spirit, we're united in the Spirit. No matter what you feel like, you may feel totally apart from other people who are born again, but you're not, because God has made us one. And there's going to be something that's going to happen in the Spirit that's going to change our mentality. And we're not going to be able to look at people that way. Not because of something we're doing, but because of something that he's done and is going to manifest. Wow. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Man, how much more clear can it get? Okay, there's one God, there's one Jesus, there's one everything. It's him. And he's put all of us into him. I love that scripture, Zechariah, I'm not going over that. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by our power, not by our might, I'm going to amplify it. Not by our doing, not by our planning, but everything happens by the Spirit of the Lord. Now listen, in the kingdom, the Spirit of the Lord moves spontaneously. In the kingdom, he just brings to us what we need. In the kingdom, he just releases through us. In the kingdom, he's a river, and he just flows. In the kingdom, it's not anything we need to manufacture. It's not anything that we need to hype up. It's not anything that we need to make happen. It's already happening. We just let the river flow. And if you know, one of the most frustrating things that can ever happen with us is when we try to make the river flow when it's not flowing. When we try to make God move, try to make the Spirit move, try to produce something in the Spirit when he's not producing it. There's no effort. There should be no effort on our part. Should be zero effort on our part. It's just realizing, whoa, okay, the river is flowing. Whew. And you just start enjoying. And if it's you're speaking, then you open your mouth. The river's not flowing, keep your mouth shut, Italians would say. Keep your mouth shut. When it's flowing, you speak. It's just learning. Learning that. What the church has done, what I've seen over the years is that the church will say a lot of times, okay, well, if we could just agree on this one thing, then all the other things that we don't agree on, we'll just ignore all of that. That is a partial unity and not this great unity that God really wants to bring us. It's just a second best. I mean, no, it's more like a tenth best. Okay. God's idea of perfect unity is something that only he can do. And it's not on our terms. It's not on our conditions. I think we better go over. Just go to the Amplified, Ephesians 4. I want to read this in the Amplified. Ephesians 4. Are you able to do this, Casey? Thank you, man. You're good. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 13. No, let's go. Verse 12. And, okay. His intention was the perfecting and full equipping his intention for giving gifts to the church. He had been talking about the gifts that he gave to the church. His intention, he says his intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints. Are you a saint? Read the epistles. He says, I write to the saints of Colossae. I write to the saints of Philippi. I write to the saints. Okay? We are considered by God to be saints. It's not the statues that you see in some buildings, okay? You are a living saint. What is a saint? Someone who in God's sight has arrived. Talking about your spirit. Your spirit in God's sight has arrived. He's completed his work within your spirit. Now it's just learning to live by God's completed work. His intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints. I like that, and full equipping. His consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. Okay, so it's taken me a lot of years to come to understand that the work of the ministry is not something that I do. It's who I am, and I allow him to do it through me. I allow him to flow through me. I allow him to speak through me. I allow him to minister through me. That's the work. Okay, Jesus told the disciples, they said, how do we do these things you do? How do we do the works of God? And he says, to do the works of God is to believe. That's it. We allow God to work by believing. He's living in us. He's made us one with him. And he will speak through us. He will flow through us. He will prophesy through us. He will release healing and life and deliverance through us. That's what he does. Right? Are you with me? Okay, work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. Toward building up Christ's body, the church. Who's that? Us. That we would begin to change the way we think and speak from me to us. From I to we. Because that's the way God sees us. He does not see us individually. He sees us corporately. We are all part of the body of Christ. He's a corporate Jesus. Does he minister to us individually? Absolutely. You know, he'll meet your deepest needs, but he wants us to see us as one. 13, that it might develop until we all attain, that this might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and the completeness found in him. Yo! Look at verse 14. So then we may no longer be children tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers, he calls them gamblers, in every shifting form of trickery and inventing errors to mislead. Wow. Wow. So we have that which is Holy Spirit-centered, Jesus-centered, and that which is man-centered. Religion is man-centered. You notice how many times there's a superstar, there's someone who's in the limelight, there's someone who, you know, everybody looks to is, oh, he's the man or she's the woman. They do that, right? Okay, that's not God's plan. That's not his plan. His plan is everything Christ-centered. It's all Christ-centered. All the glory goes to Christ. You know, I pray this all the time. Whenever I go anywhere, whenever I meet someone, they wouldn't see me, Lord. But they would see you. Because I can't change anybody. I can't help anyone. But God, you can. You've already paid the price to help them, that they would see you and they would desire you. I started going to Africa and I started hearing strange statements come out of these guys. I didn't know what, I thought something was wrong with me because I really liked being there. I really liked being around them. Africa, Philippines, all these, I really liked being there. And I felt like I was really one of them. And it's like we're going down the street, you know, you could have a whole week there and not see a single other white person. And walking down the street, you know, and I see a white person. I said, oh, look, there's a white person. Well, I'm a white person. But it's like I'm not even seeing myself or sensing myself to be that way. I really felt like I was one with them. You know, and here we are. We're sitting with a whole bunch of pastors, and there's this big, big, big bowl full of food. And they said, it's time for us to eat. And I said, okay. So we all sat around. We're all squeezed in together and sat around this bowl. And then somebody would have to move for somebody else's hand to get through to reach in and grab some of the with the fingers, grab some of the food, and then eat it. And it was like rice and greens and some kind of meat I didn't ask. And we've grown to not ask what kind of meat that is because they might tell you. Like the time I told us that pot of steaming, what looked like meat was the internal organs of a cow. There was no meat in it. I didn't need to know that. Okay, so we're all sitting there, we're eating, and they stopped and they looked at me and they said, "You're an African." I'm like, "Well, of course I am." It's like they're telling me what the oneness that the Spirit of God has given me with them, that they really felt like I was one with them, that I was part of their culture. Yeah, they told me in Tanzania, they were telling me the story about, I think it was Livingston. I don't think it was Stanley. Stanley and Livingston, you know, missionaries. You all know about that. I think it was Livingston. That went there and he really ministered a lot to the Tanzanian people, and when he died, they from England, they wanted to take his body back, and they said, no, we want to keep him because he's us, one of us. And they said, no, we have to take his body. And they said, okay, well, what we want is heart. They cut his heart out of his body. His heart's buried there in Tanzania because they said he was one of us. The unity that the Spirit brought between a white man and all those people. And it's something that we can't fabricate. We can't make happen. We can't decide to just be nice to them. We can't decide to try to do good things and try to make them like us. Or we can't try to, we don't think about, okay, what can I do to make them happy? No. That's the wrong side of the bridge. Yes, yes, yes. The heart connection that comes by the Spirit. It's not anything we can fabricate. Now, you, how many of you struggled with ministry at different times? Everybody? Okay. Now I'm going to tell you how to eliminate all struggle. Some of you already know. Don't do anything out of your head. Nothing out of your head. But just let him give you what he wants to give you. If it's very little, then that's all that needs to be done. If it's a lot, then that's what needs to be done. That's not our part. Our part is just to let him be. Wow. So the way that the religious church tries to bring unity is around creating denominations so they can all have the same doctrine, so they can all have you're never going to get unity through doctrine. It's not going to happen. Can you see it? One of the things that we do when we get contacted from someplace new in the world that wants us to come to minister is I will tell them, okay, who is it that you're going to have there? And they'll say, well, it's this denomination. I'll say, I'm not coming. Why? Because we're not about denominations. We're about the kingdom of God, and that's non-denominational. And if you will invite every single denomination that's in the area to come, if you will invite all of them, I'm talking Catholics, I'm talking everything, okay? You invite all of them, then we'll come. Because the Spirit of God is going to move in the context of unity, oneness. And it's a beautiful thing, and we've been able to see nuns and Catholic priests together with Pentecostal preachers with arms around each other crying, arms around each other laughing in the Spirit together. Just, whoa! The Spirit of God's releasing unity. And it's not a denominational thing. There's no denominations in heaven, is there? Nope, you're not going to find any. You won't find any when you get there. You're going to say, hey, where's the Baptist department? No, you're not going to find it. No, it's everything is in Jesus Christ. It's all in Jesus. And we've got to focus everything towards Jesus. It's all got to be focused towards him. Now, I want to show you that this is really a cool example, okay? Yeah, I want to show you. If you look over real quick at Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. So by whatever appeal to you there is in our own mutual dwelling in Christ, in our own mutual dwelling in Christ, by whatever strengthening and consoling and encouraging our relationship in him affords, by whatever persuasive incentive there is in love, by whatever participation in the Holy Spirit we share, and by whatever depth of affection and compassionate sympathy, fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. Okay. So I got this picture of a tuning fork. I thought, what's with this? You know what a tuning fork is, right? Okay. Well, if you got 100 pianos and you got a tuning fork that you use to tune up 100 pianos, and each one of them tunes themselves up by this tuning fork and now begins to harmonize and resonate and sympathize with, be in one with the tuning fork. What happens to the 100 pianos? They have now just become in harmony with each other. Why? Not because they tried to. You get two piano players together and try to get them to harmonize and set their piano to be on the same frequency and everything. You're going to have a hard time. Try to do that with 100. Try to do that with 200. It's not going to work. And that's what the church has been trying to do for ages, okay? But the beauty is Jesus is our tuning fork. Jesus is our tuning fork. And when each of us sets our heart to him and seeking him, him seeking him and him crucified, then something happens on this level. Then all of a sudden we begin to get harmony and symphony begins to happen in this level. Not because we're trying to work this, because he's doing it for us, because we're all connecting with the tuning fork, Jesus the Christ himself. So you come together, say, in worship. You get a whole bunch of people who maybe don't have a lot of things in common in life, but the focus is all on Jesus, worshiping him, honoring him, blessing him, praising him. And what happens? All of a sudden it's like, hey, man, you're so beautiful. Oh, it's so, I can't go over to that. It's so, you're so, oh, man, I love you so much. Oh, where the heck did that come from? Did I stop and think, okay, I got to think of something. Maybe if I go give them a hug, maybe there's something I can do to, you know, make them think that I care about them. No, it's spontaneous. When we connect with the tuning fork, Jesus, and he becomes our focus in everything, then this happens. I like that. So then I got this picture, I got a vision of everybody in this assembly. Now this is bizarre, okay? And we're praising, and like everybody's all up here, and we're doing this, and everybody's in perfect sync. And I'm like,
holy mackerel, there's no way that could ever happen in the natural. And the Spirit of God says, that's right. Not in the natural. But when your focus is on me, watch. I'll do it. I'll do it. I was sharing with the group Monday night. I mean, I've seen this all over the world, and this is a phenomenal, phenomenal mystery in how God does this. We've been places, you know, bush places where they might have an instrument, they might not have it. They might have a guitar that's really major out of tune. They wouldn't know how to tune it if they even had a tuner. And all the instruments that they have are like major out of tune. So they're bad. And their voices, where maybe you remember some of that from Guyana. Remember some of those times in Guyana where we would have to literally put our fingers in our ears because their singing was so screeching that it would make you want to throw up. It's so bad. It was so bad. Even at first, it's like, oh, God, what is happening here? God, just bless him, God. Just bless him, God. And this is what I saw literally hundreds of times over the years. I would watch as something really bizarre happened, this group. All of a sudden, their voices changed. And they were in harmony. They were harmonizing. All of a sudden, the instruments looks like they're not playing that instrument, but the sound that's coming out of that, it's actually good. And the Spirit of God was all over this group of people. And I saw that once, twice, 10 times, 20 times, and I started asking God, what is happening here? He said, I'm not looking at the outside, son. I'm looking at their hearts. Their hearts of worship. They just love me, just want me. They just want to bless me. And I bring the change supernaturally. I mean, there's a few people here, you've seen it, okay? For those of you that have not seen it, it's something sometime in your lifetime you got to see. What do we do here? We want, in America mainly, we want excellence in everything, right? We want excellence in... I want to tell you, if you got that, it's great, but give it to God. Give it to God. But if you don't got it, then trust God and watch and see what he'll do. That's why one of the things we've done here is we're not really like told people, well, you know, you can't be part because you're not good enough, or you don't play well enough, or you don't sing well enough. Don't do that. Why? Because I'm looking for those things that I see around the world to happen here. We take a group of people that maybe they're not paging the same, they're not really excellent at their instrument, and there's no denying it. That's the Spirit of God, and a river just came in the house. Oof. If you take a tuning fork and the thing is resonating, and you take a smaller tuning fork, now watch this, of the same composition, it's made of the same material, a smaller one made of the same material as the bigger one, and you bring that smaller one close to the bigger one, the smaller one starts resonating in perfect harmony and sync with what's coming off the big one. We have been made of the same composition as the Holy Spirit. We are one in spirit with him. And when he begins to resonate with the voice of Jesus, when he begins to resonate, he begins to bring the words of heaven to us. You know, it's not like we got to get God to come so we can get near to him. He's already come. He's in us. He can't get any nearer than he is. But as a number of that of us do that at the same time, hang on to your belt. Oh, hang on to your belt. So what does the enemy want to do? He wants to, you know, get in there and put thoughts in our head about, oh, this ain't right and that ain't right and this isn't perfect enough and that's not perfect enough. Tell him to shove it. We believe in the Most High God. We believe the Spirit of the living God. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. And we want an invasion of heaven like we've never seen before. Am I talking to the choir?
Yeah. Well, so we get the master tuning fork resonating, speaking. And we bring all of ours alongside of him. What do you think it's going to look like when we are getting exactly what he's saying, all of us together?
I don't want you to look at this like it's a pie in the sky, like it's something that, you know, maybe one day. He's already done what is necessary for that to happen. Only believe, church. Only believe. Only believe. Wow. Where were we before? We were in Ephesians chapter.
Oh. Okay, verse 15, Ephesians 4:15. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. That's just change your focus from things, from religious things, from doing good things. Change your focus to Christ as our head. Wow. One last verse here, 16. For because of him, the whole body, the church in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part, are you a part? Raise your hand up. When each part, with power adapted to its need, power of the Holy Ghost, when each part, the Holy Spirit power comes upon you to accomplish what he needs to be done in what he wants to have done, is working properly in all its functions, we grow to full maturity. That's when we grow to full maturity. It's like, I don't care what I do. I'm a part, and God can use that part any way he wants to use that part. And I always, wherever I go somewhere, I take the position, I don't need to do nothing, I don't need to say nothing. I can just be a part, standing in agreement with whatever's happening. I do not need to lift myself up, I do not need to exalt myself. The Bible says, humble yourself, and he will exalt you. Eh? Yeah. Look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 13. Is this making sense? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. Wow. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect, and our prophecy, our teaching is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. Okay, he's saying that we're operating in gifts that's incomplete. We're operating in gifts that are imperfect. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever gotten a prophetic word that was partially right, partially wrong? Am I the only one? But when the complete and perfect comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away, become antiquated, void, and superseded. Now, the mentality is, when you read this, to think about, okay, when Jesus returns. You're not talking about that. Oh, it'll happen then.
because it's not going to have. There's not going to be any other option at that point. But right now, the perfect can come right now. What's the perfect? The maturity of us as believers. Do you know the gifts of the Spirit were actually written to carnal believers, 1 Corinthians. Written to believers who didn't know how to operate in the Spirit, just knew how to trust the Holy Spirit to release gifts on them. Did you know that? Read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, you're all carnal. And to that group of people, he says, you're going to have the gifts of the Spirit because you guys need a lot of help. I tell you, there's something far greater. There's a maturity level that could come to the body of Christ, a maturity level of in the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit, of just simply, I mean, the gifts of the Spirit are the Holy Spirit, right? It's Him, right? Well, what would you rather have? Would you rather have His depositing a gift now and then if you need it, or would you rather have Him just simply living through you? Whenever you need His fullness, He's releasing His fullness. That's where He's taking. That's the maturity level He's taken us to, and with for us to have that understanding. Oh, but when the complete and perfect comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away. Okay, well, it can begin to vanish away in our lives right now. We don't have to wait till Jesus comes back. That can begin to vanish away, and His fullness can begin to be displayed. Now. Oh. I don't know if you know how good this is. You know, we are right now in a time where there's a partial unity that we feel like we have to live with this partial unity. That there's things that we don't agree with and things that we just have to put up with them and all this stuff. No, I believe that He wants us to have a unity that's not partial, that's full and it's real. And it's not fabricated, it's not made up, it's not religious, it's not us trying to do anything, it's just the flow of the river unlike we've ever seen.
Yeah, we're getting it.
Yes!
Yes!
Ah! Yes!
Woo! We got it!
Woo-hoo!
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yay. Amen. Yeah, well, there's one that got it. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, before I read any more of this, I'm going to tell you about what happened to me when we went out to Colorado for our grandson's birthday. They said, hey, we're going to go to Matthew's soccer game. And my son-in-law, Mark, is a coach of the soccer team. And he's had these kids for 4 years. This is the last game of the season and it's the last season he's going to. A lot of the kids are going to be gone. He's had all these kids for 4 years. I think it was 5 years. I'm not sure. Same kids for that long. And the Holy Spirit, I'm sitting on the sidelines there watching them play this game, and the Holy Spirit says, watch. I'm like, what am I watching? He says, watch. I'm going to teach you something. Ooh. Okay. So they go out there, and they're playing this other team. It's the last game. And now these kids have been together for 4 years. And my son-in-law is the coach. He's the coach. Now, partial unity would be, okay, the kids, they got the same shirt on, they got the same team name. Okay, so there's a sense of unity there. They've had the same coach for 4 years, and they've learned a lot from him. The sense of unity. Sense of unity there, they've won a lot of games together. Sense of unity there, they've had fun together. Sense of unity there, but it's still partial unity. Now, I'm watching this, and their team is out there, and they got one goal, two goals, three goals, and they're doing all these moves, where they're kicking a ball to the sideline, landing right in front of somebody else, and they're just knocking it in or head-butting it into the in for a goal, and they're like right to him, and then they're doing this fancy footwork, you know, or going around, the other guy's coming, and they go around them like that. And it's like, whoa, look at this. And they're kicking it off to each other, and they're like nailing it. And I don't know, it was like 10 to nothing. They were like just clobbering this other team. So I watched my son-in-law, the coach. He pulls people off the field. And he puts, and it's just like a part of a team. And what is he doing? He wanted the other team who was losing so badly to be able to get a goal so they could have some sense of worth and value and accomplishment in the last game. And he pulls like all these people off. And the other team is just, you know, they're running around like crazy. They still didn't score. I mean, but he was doing everything he could to get them to do that. And caring about the other team, and there, here's this team, and I looked at it, I said, what are you showing me, God? He said, it's the same people that have been together for 4 years, the same coach, and our coach is Jesus. Understand that the Spirit of Jesus is our coach, and as we learn the tactics from him, as we learn the ways of the Spirit from him, and we learn that together with other brothers and sisters, we learn how to play together. We learn how to worship together. We learn how to love together. We learn how to reach out together. We learn how to live together. To where it's like, it doesn't make any difference what I do. If the ball's coming to me, I'm going to pass it on to the person that's in a position to be able to score. And we just learn that. We learn teamwork. We learn how to be a team. We learn how to work together. One in Jesus Christ. And I watch this, and I said to my son, I said, how many games you lose this year? He said, none. We won every game. Because this group of people, we're paging together. They're playing together under one trainer, under one coach. And they picked up the ways of the coach. And they were listening to the coach. They weren't like scattering, going all over the place, picking up ideas from all other coaches and all other people. But they stayed together in a group. And he's speaking to me about the body of Christ and how, I'm not saying everybody should be in one group. We are in one body. But whatever group we are in here, we need to learn together. We need to trust the Holy Spirit together. We have enough people here to change the world. Jesus didn't need a lot of people. He still doesn't need a lot of people. He's still saying yes. Amen. So here I am watching this soccer game, and the Spirit of God is giving me this, showing me the difference between partial unity and full unity. And the difference is, we just like hammering it, and it looked like they weren't even sweating. They're just doing all this stuff together. I mean, it was just so, it looked like a dance routine. They're doing all this stuff together. I think that's the way we should look in the Spirit. Like, we got a dance routine going here. I mean, we got our act together. We are so Holy Ghost. We were just, give it off. You got somebody in a position to score, give it off. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Whoa. I don't know. I'm not one that I like to be lifted up. I don't like. If God wants to do it, that's His business. But not me. I mean, I live in it. I live in it. We don't have to wait till the Lord comes back. I want to read a scripture to you out of Revelation. I think this is my last one. Did you say, okay? Thank you. I got confirmation. I'm going to read this to you. I'm not going to tell you what scripture it is, okay? I'm going to read it to you. You tell me if this is right. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Is that correct? Wrong. It's Revelation 1:8. The way I read it to you is the way the church looks at it. Jesus who was and who is to come. We've been leaving one little three-word phrase out that is absolutely critical to our understanding of the body of Christ. He who is and was and is to come. The same Jesus Christ right now today. He will do whatever you think God is only going to do in the age to come. Get out of there. Okay. He says in Hebrews that we will taste of the powers of the age to come. Now, Jesus Christ right now is building his body. Jesus Christ right now is growing his body to fullness, to completeness, to maturity. Jesus right now is bringing, made available to us a unity unlike anything we've ever known before. I asked this question Monday night, what would it be like if you walk into a whole group of Christians and you never heard one negative word to come out of any of them? What would it be like? That's the unity of the Spirit. That's the unity of the Spirit. Remember, it's not anything we make happen. It's not because we go into a meeting of other Christians and say, all right, I don't want to hear nothing negative on anybody. Hear that? If I do, I'm going to slap you silly. Okay? It's not because we try to make it happen, okay? It's going to be because I love every one of these people. I don't care what's going on with them. I love them. I'm going to stand with them. I'm going to fight with them. I'm going to be right there with them in the trenches. I'm getting in the trenches with you, okay? We're going to be in there together, and we're going to go through this together. And what happens? That's why the enemy wants to separate the body. He wants to pull people out of the body. He wants to get them into... I mean, this COVID thing did a lot of damage, didn't it? So many people, they left churches. And they have not gone back yet. Well, the church is the body of Christ. And you don't leave the body of Christ. Once you're in, you're in. You can't decide to leave. You know that, right? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. He who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty, the ruler of all. Wow. 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 So my prayer is that we will, I mean, you have to have a group of people. We have a group of people. That we will experience the fullness of the unity that he's talking about, that he wants us to have. At the end of the age, he will be able to demonstrate his life through us that he can't do through a scattered group of people. I mean, my son-in-law took I don't know how many kids were on the team. He took that number of kids who, they don't even know each other 4 years ago. And they got all different kinds of ideas about all kinds of things because of the proper coaching and creating the mentality and the heart within them that we're a team. We are a team and we work together. He got to have an undefeated season. We can have an undefeated season. What's the season? The rest of our time on this earth. We can have an experience a totally undefeated. Gee. Wow. Wow. So let's I didn't go over that one time. Well, I did go over it. Well, you know what I always ask? People say, can you describe the law to me? I said, yeah, I'll tell you what the law is. The law produces, the law is what we think we have to do for God, or we're told that we have to do for God, okay? What the law produces is a desire to, suppose there's a sign there that says, don't step on the grass. The grass is over there. The law produces this. It makes you want to do the thing that's not good. That's what it does. That pool right there made me want to step over it. Nancy put down the law on the floor and made me want to step over it. You know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's stand up and let's pray together, okay? Take somebody's hand if you don't mind. If you feel like they have to have some wipes first, though. Woohoo! Hallelujah. Let's let's agree. Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay, this is just a prophetic sign of an inward reality in our heart, okay? We're linked up. We're holding hands. Father, just so the spiritual realm could be clear, we know where we're headed. Just so the angels and even the demons, as they look on, know that we are one in you. We've been made to be one in you, and we're going to see a greater display than we ever thought humanly possible, God. Oh, God. We're not humans who are having an occasional spiritual experience, but we are spiritual people who are having a temporary human experience. That's who we are, Lord. We are sons and daughters of the living God. We are ambassadors of the Most High God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are pilgrims just passing through this place. We are aliens, Lord. Our real home is with you in heaven, Lord. That's our real home. We're just here temporary. And God, we're going to make a mark for Jesus. And we're going to make it be known in the world that is around us, the world that is looking at us. We're not of this place. We're of a different homeland. We're of a different place. We have a different home. Our heart's in the home. Our spirit lives both places. And God, we're going to make a mark, Lord, so they're going to see who you really are, who you really are. Jesus, you prayed. We thank you for your prayer being answered, that we would be one, just as you and the Father are one. Thank you for that answered prayer. Holy Spirit, that you will create within us everything that needs to be created. You will release within us everything that needs to be released. No more striving, no more trying, no more manipulating, no more trying to pull things off or make things happen. No, God, you're our river, Jesus. And you're in all of us. And that river is huge when we join hands, when we join hearts, when we join together. Because we're big. You're really big. You're really big. Thank you for changing our heart, changing our spiritual eyes to see what's really real. What's really real. Thank you so much, Lord. We bless you for what you're doing within us. We bless you for the power that we're going to see released in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the accomplishments that are going to happen. Lord, we give you full permission to break into every gathering we ever have, to break in big time, Lord. If there's something in the way, swallow it up, God. We give you full permission, Lord. We just want Jesus. You're our head, Lord. We're your body. You're the head, and we take directions from the head. It's a stupid body that tries to direct the head. We're not a stupid body. We're your body. Hallelujah. 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 We love you. We honor you. We bless you. Be glorified, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. Praise God.